the content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I'm your host for Ladies Magazines. Let's jump right on in with this one from Real Simple, The Short List, 5 Books That Won't Disappoint. First up is a magical story. Harriet Lee is raising her daughter, Perdita, and navigating the school's Parents Association. Her life is pretty typical of a London mom's, except for the fact that the dolls in her apartment talk, she's from a country that doesn't exist, and she bakes a powerful gingerbread that connects her to home and her childhood friend, Gretel. Helen Oyemi's Holy Original Gingerbread is the title, is a modern fairy tale about family history and legacy. And let me spell the author's last name, Oyemi, and the book Gingerbread. Next is a memoir. After the sudden death of her father, Katie Arnold starts spiraling as she reflects on his decision to leave his family when she was little. To cope, Arnold, an on-and-off runner, turns back to the trails, conquering longer and longer distances. Running Home is the name of the book, a memoir about the sport. It's also an inspiring story about overcoming grief and discovering yourself. And the author, Katie Arnold, A-R-N-O-L-D. Next one is a thriller. In Samantha Downing's My Lovely Wife, Millicent and her husband have been leading a quiet suburban Florida existence when they find an extremely unconventional way to spice up their marriage. Murder. A year later, the body of a missing woman is found in a hotel, not in the swamp where Millicent had said she was going to dump her. This well-paced thriller isn't going where you think it is. And the author, Samantha Downing, D-O-W-N-I-N-G, the book My Lovely Wife. Next, behind the music, it's 1979 and Daisy Jones and the Six has released one of the year's best albums, but abruptly, on the final night of its tour, the band splits and is never seen together again. In Daisy Jones and the Six, Taylor Jenkins Reid imagines an oral history of the band's rise and fall. It's fictional, though Reid was inspired by Fleetwood Mac and others, but the band and the era are so fully realized, you'll think they're you're reading a true story. The book, Daisy Jones and the Six, and the author, Taylor Jenkins Reid, R-E-I-D. And the last one is a family drama. When his wife passes away, Arthur learns that she bequeathed a secret fortune to her children, but not to her cheating husband. A few years later, Arthur is broke. Ethan has spent his inheritance, while Maggie, altruistic to a fault, hasn't touched a penny. When Arthur invites his children home to plea for a bailout, old wounds are reopened. Andrew Ridker's The Altruists is a witty look at baby boomers and millennials and the things money can't buy. And that author, Andrew Ridker, R-I-D-K-E-R, the book, The Altruists. Next, from Family Circle, Off Duty, Where the Fun Stuff Happens. And this is a bunch of just little tips and little interesting things. First, Elephant in the Room. If Tim Burton is behind the camera, you know it's going to be good and edgy enough that even the most surly teenager will consent to watching a movie about a baby elephant. The genius behind the remakes of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and Alice in Wonderland has now directed Disney's live-action and CGI version of Dumbo, which opens March 29th. If you thought your kids would only go to the movies with you when pigs fly, this almost proves your point. Next, Whip It Good. Sadly, a fresh-baked cookie craving never hits when you, miraculously, have butter at room temperature. Step away from the microwave and reach for Oster's heat-soft hand mixer instead. Press a button, and it gently emits warm air to soften up cold ingredients and give you fluffier cookies super fast whenever you crave them. You can get this from Oster or Oster.com for $100. Next, Cozy Times 2, the Patty Wax Candles Mesa Collection, will fill your house with wonderfully warm, natural scents, cedarwood and moss, eucalyptus and sage, or plum and orchid. Then, when they're burned out after about 70 hours for the 10-ounce size, you can use the minimalist chic ceramic vessels as a stackable creamer and sugar bowl for when you curl up with a cup of tea. And this is available from pattywax.com from $12. Reality check. Family Game Night calls for the Game of Life Quarter Life Crisis Edition, a new version of the classic board game where all the players start off with crippling debt, their words, not ours, from college loans. The first player to collect $500,000 to pay it off wins. Even the bumps in the road have been updated to reflect everyday horrors, like dropping your phone in the toilet or losing your Wi-Fi connection. Available from Target for $20. Let It Flow, what every busy mom needs, a visual roadmap for tapping into your hidden genius. Yep, it's there. The advice in this clever book could lead you to the next million-dollar idea, or at least turn you into an inventive problem solver. The cool graphics, prompts, and words of wisdom are guaranteed to help you see what's right in front of you in a whole new light. Your idea starts here. Is the name of the book. Carolyn Eckert, E-C-K-E-R-T, the author. It's available on Amazon for $15. Greenhouse effect. Buying houseplants and keeping them alive can be tricky, but getting plants from Bloomscape is foolproof. Select the plant size, how many or not your, how sunny or not your room is, and yes, the plant's degree of difficulty. They generate options that suit your needs and ship a potted plant straight to your door. And this is bloomscape.com, available starting at $35. Next, if you're an Aries, your horoscope for this month. If the start of the new year didn't uncover a new you, the start of spring will, and the universe is on your side, Aries. If you begin a diet or fitness program, you'll notice rapid results. If you want to change up your look, expect a discount or free favor from a stylist or friend with a flair for hair. Double-check the details of an upcoming trip, either business travel or a family vacation, as there's likely to be a small hitch that can be fixed. Keep your helper hat on for a friend or close relative who's about to share an ambitious plan with you. She needs your valuable input. And if you're not an Aries, you can see your horoscope for this month by going to familycircle.com/horoscopes. From Real Simple, Modern Manners, Real Simple's etiquette expert Catherine Newman offers her best advice on your social quandaries. MW asks, my mother-in-law is obsessively clean, and when we visit, she scolds us at every turn. My in-laws recently built a lavish house with a finished basement suite for grandkids, but I don't feel comfortable sending my kids to stay with her because I don't want them scolded for being kids, and I don't want their hands to get raw from overwashing. She won't come to our house because they are too dirty, her words. Is there anything we can do to get rid of, or to get her to be nicer or to deal with these rules? And the answer from Catherine, I'm sorry for your mother-in-law that she's compromising her relationship with her grandkids over a particularity about her things, although it almost sounds as if it might be a genuine mental health issue rather than a more straightforward pickiness. And I do appreciate the basement suite as an attempt at problem-solving. Offer your kids a psychological exit from the drama. We try to respect Grandma and the way she likes her house, but those are values we don't share. Do your best, but don't fret if there's a problem. But the word lavish makes me think that this is a person who could afford to put you all up in a hotel somewhere, so suggest it and let her. Meet somewhere neutral where she can have her own meticulous space and the kids can jump on the beds unscolded. Next, MP asks, a few close friends of mine have very different political views from mine. My go-to has been to avoid the topic, but part of me is so upset about the news that I'm starting to feel like I'm hiding part of myself. How should I handle this? Answer, when my family went to the Women's March a couple of years ago, my brother-in-law, who has radically different politics from ours, generously hosted us in D.C., drove us to the march, and afterward met us for dinner, where our family spoke in optimistic good faith about our day. It was strange but lovely, and it felt like an antidote to the cynicism that keeps us from engaging with difference. If you're hiding your authentic self from people you love, you should reveal it. You can always touch back on safe ground. Kids, work, whatever anchors these relationships. If it gets too fraught. But I'm starting to think we need to have these conversations if we want to bridge the enormous divides in our lives, our communities, and our world. AD asks, the trend in children's birthday parties these days is to not open presents because it might make the other children at the party feel bad. But I feel like gift-giving creates an opportunity for our children to learn generosity, selflessness, and thankfulness. What are your thoughts on this trend? And her answer, I understand. On the one hand, there's something overly tidy about opening gifts off stage with any awkwardness occurring safely out of view. But on the other, there are potential pitfalls to opening presents in public beyond the envy it can produce in little guests. Gifts exaggerate differences, both socioeconomic and developmental. Some children can unwrap graciously, while others are overstimulated by it or unprepared to perform the little courtesies required. Appearing excited about unexciting gifts, hiding horror about a weird-faced doll, not blurting out, I already have this, if they do. True practice is key to learning these skills, but try not to judge families who deem their kids not socially adept enough or who worry about creating an occasion for their little guests that's too hard to rise to. Expressive thank you notes can help illuminate the gratitude occurring behind the scenes. DY asks, my eldest daughter is getting married next year. My son and younger daughter will be part of her wedding party. It's a destination wedding, and I'm planning on paying for their flights. I also plan to pay for my son's girlfriend to come along, but I do not want to pay for my daughter's boyfriend to go, mostly because I do not like his recreational drug habit and endless video game playing. It's obviously a family function, and I do not consider him part of our family. What would you do here? Answer, I would pay for both flights or neither. Refusing to pay for the boyfriend is a passive-aggressive way to express your disapproval, and I promise you it won't go well. If you don't like him, then don't set up your daughter to have to choose between you. You'll alienate her and push her even further into the relationship. Your job now is to treat your daughter as an adult, offering whatever supportive scaffolding she can tolerate along the way. I'm guessing your disapproval is not unknown to her, although you could consider expressing the concerns you have. But first ask yourself, is he decent? Is she happy? If the answer to these questions is yes, then you might have to chalk up the habits you don't like to a particular young adult developmental moment and keep your opinions to yourself. From Family Circle, how to handle the stinky stuff. And there are a lot of subheadings. When you open the fridge, it smells like someone ordered Thai food last month. Whether we're talking forgotten takeout or old chopped onion, some fridge odors can be stubborn as they are appetite-killing. Beyond cleaning out your fridge, that cliched but true tip about keeping an open box of baking soda is still your best bet as long as you swap in a fresh one at least every 3 months. Arm & Hammer baking soda fridge and freezer flow-through boxes are available at Walmart, $7 for four. Confirmed, that dark spot on the carpet is indeed cat pee. You know from experience what comes next, a room with the forever scent of ammonia meets barnyard that quickly turns into a backup litter box for your repeat offender. Unless you address this mess the right way and fast, blot the accident zone repeatedly with a paper towel to draw out as much moisture as you can. Then saturate the entire urine-affected area with an enzyme-based cleaner following the label instructions. Repeat if needed until the stench and stain are gone. If you're dealing with an area rug, be sure to check and clean the pad underneath, too. Rinse and let dry thoroughly. Sprinkle on some baking soda. Let sit overnight to soak up any lingering odor. Then run the vacuum, which might trigger Soxie's anxiety, but hey, now you're even. The products, they've got Urine Off Multipurpose Stain and Odor Remover from Amazon for $27 for two bottles. Nature's Miracle Urine Destroyer for Cats, also available on Amazon for $13. That basement rug has gone from slightly musty to downright funky. The stench may mean mold or mildew is slowly proliferating thanks to excess moisture. Check to make sure nothing's leaking down there. If not, you may just need to get a dehumidifier into action. For now, air things out, lug throw rugs, and hang them over a porch rail in the sun for a day or two. If you have wall-to-wall carpet, open the windows. Then sprinkle your floor covering with baking soda, let it sit overnight to absorb moisture and stench, and use a HEPA vacuum to suck it up. You can also try a product formulated to neutralize mycotoxins, the musty-scented compounds released by mold and mildew, says Nelson. Spray up into the air and let the mist settle onto the rug. Don't spray directly. You just want a fine mist. Steam cleaning is worth the effort, too. For musty odors, blasting the steam can really help, Maker says. Just be sure to ventilate with open windows and fans. Save this project for a non-muggy day until the rug's fully dry. The products, Bissell Spot Clean Professional Portable Carpet Cleaner, available from Bissell.com for $129, and Medina Biological Odor Control, that's a spray bottle, I think, from Amazon for $19. Somebody's bedroom smells like teen spirit, a lot of it. First, remove prime stink sources. Get sneakers and sports gear out and into the sun for a day. Then mist them, plus the inside of that dank laundry basket, with an unscented deodorizing spray. It will neutralize odors rather than mask them. Strip the bedding and wash everything. Going forward, emphasize prompt laundering. You can make laundry idiot or teen-proof by stocking self-measuring detergent. Your kid just has to squeeze the bottle once for the right amount. Try using booster beads in your wash loads. They keep clothing and bedding smelling fresher for longer. A jar of odor-neutralizing gel somewhere in the room will further help clean the air. Just remove the seal, replace the slotted lid, and let it soak up stink, as will regular passes with a HEPA filter-equipped vacuum. And the products, Zero Odor Multipurpose Household Odor Eliminator, from Amazon for $16. Downy Sport Odor Defense Beads from Jet.com for $9. Shark Navigator Lift Away Professional from Amazon for $180. That's the vacuum they're talking about. Seventh Generation Easy Dose Ultra Concentrated Laundry Detergent, Amazon for $25 for two. Fresh Wave Odor Removing Gel from Target for $10. There's also a Perma-Pea scent in your powder room. Okay, we're not going to point fingers, but you suspect a certain 15-year-old may still have aim issues. Potpourri isn't going to do it. Instead, mist the entire area, including walls and toilet base, with an enzyme cleaner. Let sit for 10 minutes, then wipe away. The enzymes attack the urine odor, Maker says. A hard surface steam cleaner can also keep pea scent at bay. And bathroom squeaky clean. The pressurized hot steam dislodges gunk. Post-steam treatment, pat the area with a dry cloth. The products, BioClean Backout Stain and Odor Eliminator with live enzyme cultures from Walgreens at $9.50, and Reliable Pronto Portable Steam Cleaner from Walmart for $99. Next up, we move to some tasty treats here from Family Circle, the Easter cheesecake that will get everyone hopping. Raspberry Lemon Cheesecake Bars. Prep time is 15 minutes. Total time, 6 hours and 5 minutes. That includes refrigeration time. And this makes 18 servings. Here's what you need. 2 cups graham cracker crumbs, 1 cup plus 2 tablespoons sugar divided, 6 tablespoons butter melted, 3 cups or 12 ounces raspberries divided, 1 tablespoon each zest and juice from 1 lemon, 4 packages, 8 ounces each, Philadelphia cream cheese softened. So you don't buy the pre-softened like the spreadable. You have to buy the blocks and then soften them to room temperature. And 4 eggs. Heat your oven to 325. Line a 13 by 9 inch pan with foil, with the ends of the foil extending over the sides. Combine graham crumbs, 2 tablespoons of the sugar, and butter. Press onto the bottom of the prepared pan. Bake 10 minutes. Reserve 1/2 cup raspberries and 1 teaspoon lemon zest for later use. Beat the cream cheese, lemon juice, remaining zest, and remaining sugar in a large bowl with mixer until blended. Add eggs one at a time, mixing on low speed after each, just until blended. Gently stir in remaining raspberries. Pour over the crust. Bake 35 to 40 minutes or until the center is almost set. Cool completely. Refrigerate 4 hours. Top with reserved raspberries and lemon zest. Use foil handles to remove cheesecake from pan before cutting into bars. From Real Simple, we have a couple of easy dinners. First, steak salad with blue cheese, hazelnuts, and pears. Active time and total time are both 15 minutes. This serves 4 and is a gluten-free recipe. You need 1 pound of flank steak, 1 inch thick, 1.5 teaspoons kosher salt divided, 1/2 teaspoon black pepper divided, 1/4 cup plus 1 tablespoon olive oil divided, 1 tablespoon red wine vinegar, 1 teaspoon Dijon mustard, 5 ounces of baby arugula, or about 6 cups, 1 ripe pear thinly sliced, 1/3 cup chopped toasted hazelnuts, 1 ounce blue cheese, sliced or crumbled, about 1/4 cup. Season the steak with 1 teaspoon salt and 1/4 teaspoon pepper. Heat 1 tablespoon oil in a large skillet over high. Cook the steak, turning once until browned on both sides, 5 minutes per side for medium. Transfer to a cutting board and let rest for 5 minutes before slicing. Stir together the vinegar, mustard, and remaining 1/4 cup oil, 1/2 teaspoon salt, 1/4 teaspoon pepper in a large bowl. Add arugula, pear, and steak and toss to coat. Top with hazelnuts and blue cheese. That does sound rather delightful. Next, crispy Arctic char, which is a fish, I didn't know that, with fennel carrot salad. Active in total time, 20 minutes. Serves 4. It's a healthy pick and gluten-free. You need 1 lemon, 1 shallot finely chopped, 2 teaspoons poppy seeds, 1 teaspoon honey, 1/4 cup plus 1 tablespoon olive oil divided, 1 teaspoon kosher salt divided, 1 teaspoon of black pepper divided, 1 fennel bulb shaved, 1 large carrot peeled and shaved into long strips, 1/2 cup packaged fresh flat leaf parsley leaves, and 4 6-ounce skin-on Arctic char fillets patted dry. Cut off and discard ends of the lemon. Stand the lemon upright on a work surface. Slice 4 perpendicular pieces from around the lemon core, making 4 lemon cheeks and leaving behind a square lemon core. Finally, chop lemon cheeks, including peel and pith. Transfer to a small bowl. Squeeze juice from lemon core into the bowl. Add shallot, poppy seeds, honey, 1/4 cup oil, and 1/2 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Stir to combine. Transfer 3 tablespoons of the lemon dressing to a medium bowl. Add fennel, carrot, and parsley leaves and toss to coat. Season the fish fillets with remaining 1/2 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Heat remaining 1 tablespoon oil in a large nonstick skillet over medium-high. Add fish, skin side down, and cook until bottoms are browned and crisp, about 5 minutes. Flip and cook about 2 more minutes for medium. Serve the fish, skin side up, drizzled with remaining dressing. Serve with fennel salad. And, how about chicken skewers with almond couscous and kale? Active time, 30 minutes. Total time, 40. This is family friendly, it says. Serves 4, and here's what you need. 1/4 cup fresh lemon juice from a large lemon, 1.5 teaspoons ground cumin, 1.5 teaspoons paprika, 6 tablespoons plus 1 teaspoon olive oil divided, 5 cloves of garlic finely chopped, divided, 1 1/4 pound boneless, skinless chicken breasts cut into 1 1/2 inch pieces, 3/4 cup couscous, 1/3 cup toasted sliced almonds, 1 3/4 teaspoon kosher salt divided, and an 8-ounce bunch lacinato kale. Stir together lemon juice, cumin, paprika, 5 tablespoons oil, and 2/3 of the garlic in a large bowl. Reserve 2 tablespoons in a small bowl and set aside. Add chicken to large bowl, toss to coat. Marinate at room temperature, tossing occasionally for 15 minutes. Meanwhile, heat 1 tablespoon oil in a small pot over medium high. Cook couscous with remaining garlic, stirring often until fragrant, about 1 minute. Add 3/4 cup water and bring to a boil. Remove from heat, cover, and let stand until liquid is absorbed and couscous is tender, about 5 minutes. Fluff with a fork, stir in almonds and 1/2 teaspoon salt. Heat a grill pan over medium-high. Thread marinated chicken onto 4 8-inch skewers. Season with 1 teaspoon of salt. Discard the marinade. Grill skewers, turning often until chicken is lightly charred and cooked through, 8 to 12 minutes. Transfer to a plate. Mix kale with remaining teaspoon of oil in a large bowl. Add to grill pan and cook, turning once until charred, about 30 seconds per side. Transfer to a cutting board. Remove and discard kale stems. Cut leaves into large pieces. Toss the kale with reserved lemon juice mixture and remaining 1/4 teaspoon salt in a bowl. Serve with skewers and couscous. Next, from Good Housekeeping, walnut pesto potato salad. Here's what you need. 2 pounds baby potatoes, halved or quartered if large. 8 ounces green beans, trimmed and cut into 1-inch pieces. 2 cups packed fresh basil leaves, plus more for garnish. 1/2 cup toasted and chopped California walnuts, plus more for garnish. 1 tablespoon fresh lemon juice. 1/2 cup extra virgin olive oil. 1/4 cup grated parmesan, 1 pint cherry tomatoes, halved, and 12-ounce mini mozzarella balls, cut in half. In a large pot, cover the potatoes with 2 to 3 inches of water and season generously with salt. Bring water to a boil. Cook till potatoes are just barely tender, 15 minutes. Add green beans during the last 3 minutes and cook until potatoes and beans are tender. Drain and let cool before transferring to a large serving bowl. While potatoes and beans are cooling, combine basil, nuts, walnuts, and lemon juice in a food processor. Pulse until finely chopped. With the machine running, add oil in a slow, steady stream. Add parmesan and pulse to combine. Season with salt and pepper. Add cherry tomatoes, mozzarella, and pesto to the potatoes and the green beans and toss. Season with salt and pepper. And top with more chopped walnuts before serving. Enjoy. Well, we've run out of time for this episode of Ladies Magazines. Be sure and listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast on our website, trianglereadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. So long, until next time.